Hey y'all, you're listening to Crazy in Love, the podcast. I'm your host, Courtney. So, if you guys hear any background noise, it's just I am literally outside. I'm just relaxing out here in the field, pretty much grounding myself. So, if you hear anything, that's most definitely what it is. And this car is driving by, but not a lot. So I haven't talked to you guys in forever. I say that every single time, but it's true, because I haven't. And so last time we kind of spoke a little bit, like a tiny bit, about realigning our goals and making sure we're on track for the end of the year. And I just want to take it back to relationships, because we haven't talked about relationships in a while. So I wanted to kind of roll back to that. I want to talk today about relationships with our parents. That's not something that we talk about a lot. I don't think people, you may tell your friend or you may tell a spouse or something about your relationship with your parent. But I just wanted to bring this up. So I was just thinking, like, sometimes our parents, like, I'm close to my mom now, but me and my mom haven't always been close. And sometimes it hits you that, okay, maybe this parent don't realize how they affected me when I was a child. And then it's that dilemma of, do you bring it up or do you move forward? And it's heavy, you know, it's heavy to carry, because the last thing you want to do, I know some people don't have relationships with their parents, or they have bad relationships with your parents. But if you have a good relationship with your parent now, the last thing you want to do is like start it. Well, what it feels like is start drama. Although ultimately you're really not starting drama. You just kind of bringing up the past, and sometimes bringing up the past is helpful. And I bring this up because I had a conversation with my mom, and I had some feelings, and she felt surprised by them. She felt like she did not know that I had these feelings. And to me, it was like, okay, it was obvious to me, like, you know how sometimes we feel that people should know, like, how did you not know this? You know what I mean? But then you got to bring yourself back into that place of, you are working at a place where you're looking at things from other people's angles, and everybody is not there. And by you, I'm talking about me right now, y'all. I ain't talking about y'all. So, I don't know. It just brought up a lot of things for me, because I have had conversations, or rather, I'm not even going to say conversations. Usually, I'm upset and I kind of tell somebody how I feel. But it's like, or rather my parents, how I feel. But how do we get past that? How do we get past of waiting till something's just bubbling over before you say anything, to get to a point where you say something before it get there? You know, and I guess that's my dilemma. The second dilemma I am facing is that I no longer have these feelings. So are they worth bringing up? The one half is how I felt at that time shaped me into who I am today. And we all know this. It's been proven time and time again. Your younger years affect you later in life. I read a book. It was Oprah. I'm going to have to find the book so I can put it in the notes. Because it's Oprah and it's a doctor, and they was literally talking about age 0 to 2, where if you wasn't held or if you had you wasn't fed regularly, stuff like that, how it affects you later in life. And then of course we know 2 through 5 affects you in a certain way, and then and so on and so on. Like every stage of your life up until 18 or beyond 18, your brain is still developing. So for each of those stages in your life where you have needs that aren't being met, it just, something happens to you. It shapes you. So I have this eternal dilemma of I'm beyond this point. I understand both sides. I see life from everybody angle at this point. So I understand where she was at. I understand where I was at. So is it worth bringing up? And, you know, and then if you bring it up, I just have a thing like, I don't want to be too emotional about it because I feel like it's something I shouldn't even be bringing up. But then it's like, it's obviously relevant because I have feelings about it, right? So I want to talk about this because it's just one of those things. You know, I have little sisters and I like to think I kind of advocate for them, you know, and they have a better way of getting their words out or, you know, just expressing themselves. And then with my daughter, my relationship with her is different than with my sisters. You know, I think I talked about this before, where she may not feel how they feel. To them, I may be the best, but to her, it's like a mom. You know what I mean? So it's like all of these different things you're trying to figure out and you're trying to make it make sense. That type thing. And relationships are already hard. But how do we get to a point where we can address our relationship with our parents without it feeling like an attack? Attack is a good word. Without it feel like the blame game or anything like that. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it, with trying to see how can you do this without it being a thing? And by a thing, mean like someone's getting upset or someone's mad, or because that's not the goal. Although you want your voice to be heard, we're at a place where things can get, I don't know, a lot of people listen with their feelings and not with their ears. So if you listening with your feelings, you're going to hear what you're feeling versus what I'm saying. And, you know, a lot of things I told my mom, like, you remember things differently than I remember things. And that's, of course, because you had a different experience than I had. And now being a parent now, I feel the same thing with Nala. Like, I have put myself in her shoes. And I think that's when I want to kind of go back and kind of do some corrective actions or do things better. You can't change the past, but you can change the now, that type thing. And so that's with the self-awareness. You know, with me and her, I'm able to be self-aware. Does that mean I'm going to do everything perfect? No, because sometimes it sucks trying to be the parent, you know, all the time. When sometimes you don't want to care either. If you don't care, I don't care. You don't want to do the homework, I don't want you to do it. But it's like you can't do that. You have to constantly be someone to lean on. And it's like with our parents, we have to understand their struggles. You know what I mean? To a certain degree, though. You have to understand where they're coming from, the struggles they had, the internal fights they had. Things like that. So that was just on my brain about, you know, just understanding what do we do when we feel like we cannot maybe either hash out the past or even bring up the past with your parent. What are you supposed to do? And usually I give you guys advice, but this is a topic that I don't really feel confident on. Like, I don't feel it. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to find out what to do myself. So, yeah, it was just on my brain. I thought I'd share it with y'all. Because relationships with parents can be tricky. And I only got one perspective on this. And that's my perspective from being a parent. And then I got a second perspective from having parents. And, you know, I can only think as far as they could think. because everything is unique to the experience. And everybody started different, had different things, different goals, different dreams, different resources. And so when you put that into accounts, nobody shared an identical situation when it came to being parented or, parenting. We all have different things contributing. And I don't know, it's just heavy on my mind. I wish I had, something more to say, but I really don't, because it just sucks. You just want to, and of course it's healthy to just say how you feel, just to go ahead and get it out or whatnot, but then it's like, what's the outcome? Is there an outcome? Is there a purpose of bringing it up? And of course, everybody say to feel better, but I don't know. Maybe I need to find someone that has had a difficult conversation with their parent, and then we'll go from there. We'll see. Anyway, thank y'all for listening. It's just something that was on my mind. I had to get it out. So, y'all know sometimes I have to come back just bring it back. I ended the episode. It was pretty short. But the next day, I watched, if you black, you already know it's a black classic, Love and Basketball. Now, I have seen bits and pieces of Love and Basketball, but yesterday my little sister, she is going through all the black cinema. Like, she's wanting to catch up on everything and see all the movies, and she has opinions about all of them, by the way. But yesterday she watched Love and Basketball, and I sat down and I watched it too. Now, I completely understand why the movie is a black classic. I dropped some tears a few times through the film. I did not know how it was on end. I didn't know if him and the girl was going to be together or if they wasn't going to be together. It was like they kept missing each other at different stages in their life. But what I want to talk about in this particular film is the relationships with their parents, because it was multi-layered, and that was one of the layers that was shown in the film, is the relationships they each had with their parents. Now, it didn't go like in depth, but you seen enough to kind of get it. And why, hold on, because I know his name is Q. Why can't I remember her name? And if you hear me typing, that's what I'm looking up, because I don't remember her name. Let's see. Okay. Love and Basketball. Do 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 do. And it's still on. Monica. Okay, so with Monica, who plays the main female character in the show. In the movie, I'm not going to go into details. If you've seen it, great. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But Monica and her mother have a kind of strained relationship. Like, we kind of, in her early years, we kind of seen that her mother would rather her be a prissy girl, like dresses, flat iron hair, ponytails, nails, stuff like that. You kind of seen that. Later on in the film, after she's returning from overseas, she's grown now, they have a conversation. And the conversation, it was interesting. Because on the mom's side, she felt judged by her daughter. Which, I don't know, I guess it was shocking to her. But I never thought that. It never crossed my mind that a parent can feel judged by you, by their child. It just hadn't crossed my mind, but she felt like her daughter judged her for being prissy, for being a homemaker, for enjoying to cater to her husband and her children. She felt judged by her child. And in her defense, she most definitely was judged, because in that scene, Monica told her, you are rather, cater to people than to follow your own dreams, something like that. And it was very hurtful for her to say that to her mom, but it's how she felt. And that was pretty much because of her own feelings of, I'm going to follow my dreams. I don't care about being a homemaker and you know, doing all that stuff. So it opened up. It was just interesting to watch it unfold, to watch, you know, her be a child and kind of, you know, your mama just telling you to do whatever and you doing it. You don't want to do it. You got to wear a dress. You don't want to wear a dress. And it kind of brought on a different sense of two personalities and them not really appreciating each other. Of course, they aren't. They relationship out after that, after they had that heart to heart. But that was interesting. And then with Quincy, aka Q, in the film, with his mom and dad, his mom and dad had a strained relationship. Now, Monica, we didn't really see her dad too much in the film. We do know he was a banker. It seemed like she was closer to him. And let me go back to Monica, because Monica also brought up how her mom, she didn't feel supported by her mom because her mother didn't show up for what she was doing. And her mother responded, "I didn't feel you wanted my support," because she felt, of course, like Monica didn't really care for her overall. It was complicated, but if you watch it, you'll kind of see. And then with the mom and dad of Quincy, the daddy was a professional basketball player. And the mom, of course, was a homemaker again. She stayed at home. And in the film, we, throughout the years, even when he's young up to he's older, we see the parents arguing late at night, arguing, then maybe they'll have sex, you know. But we hear their relationship. So it's very up and down. They never show it on film, but it's heard. And with his relationship with his dad, early on, he says he wants to be a basketball player like Pop. He looks up to his Pop. He believes everything he's telling him. He really like pinning him on the pedestal. Not saying that he's not pinning the mom on the pedestal, but he's definitely like a daddy's boy. Like, he's all up in it. Now, the mother is giving him advice about females, you know, be careful for the girls, look out for the girls. The girls are going to want you for this, this, that, that. Girls are fast. All that typical 90s sexist stuff, you know, we know what it was. Because most of the time, these girls not laying down by themselves, but whatever. So she giving him all that advice, and so their relationships, it seemed more so just like, honestly, like mother and son. Just like, I got this son, I think he's a cutie, he's smart, he's ambitious, and I want to protect him from the world, which in the 90s would be aka protecting him from a woman, aka trapping him or getting pregnant on purpose. Now, okay, whatever, that's a lot to unpack, but we're not worried about that. So that's his relationship with his mother, pretty much. Mama love you, you mama's boy, it is what it is. With the daddy, his relationship with his dad is exactly what I told y'all. Later on in the film, once again, they're grown. Two heart-to-hearts are had, one with his mom. And this one, it did make me cry. She only had like 3-4 lines, but it really hit home because she had to come to her son after he has went to his dad. Well, his dad came to him and said, "Hey, some woman's trying to say I got her pregnant." Now, how he said this was like she lying, or, you know, like, I don't know. How the 90s different. It wasn't cameras. It wasn't cell phones. It wasn't none of, I know it was cell phones, but y'all know what I mean. Like, it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything to solidify someone's claims until after the child was there. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say. So, okay. So he pretty much say, "Hey, you know, this isn't true. This lady, she's lying." And he flat out asks his dad, "Hey, is it true?" You know, because to him, you the man of the house. It's, we the family. You can't break up the family, blah, 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 blah. So he says, "No, it's not true. You know, this is just some woman that be at every party that's, you know, trying to get some money." He takes his dad word, he moves on. So he goes on to see his mom, and it's very much just like, what's wrong with you? You know, dad said it's not true and you can't break up the family over this. This is, you know, foolish or whatever. And his mom, of course, has to look at him and tell him it is true. And your dad lied to you and I'm tired and pretty much I'm leaving. I've done it. You actually out of college at this point. No, he was not out of college. He was in college, but you are grown. We kept the family together. Keep in mind that they had been arguing at least 10 years. At least 10 years. So about the same thing, about him coming home late at night, all that type stuff. So a conversation was had between him and her. And I think in the film, it felt like the first time that he maybe seen her as a person and not as his mom. You know what I mean? Like, as someone that needed something back from the man that she was with. And not just, I mean it because we have a child together. So that was something to look at. And then the second one was the falling out between him and his dad. Because once again, he really loved his dad. His dad was godlike to him. And he could not imagine his dad cheating on his mom. You know, and it was very interesting. And I think he was more so upset that his dad was able to lie to him so easily. Just like, no, it ain't true. Da, 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 da. If you lie to me and I tell you the absolute truth about everything I feel, then that's insane. You know what I mean? Like, you lie about anything. Because at this point, we gonna know. What's the point of lying? Mom knows, I know, but you still lying to us about it. And so I wanted to bring this up because it was crazy for me to record this episode and then the next day for me to really see this movie and then it be in a different light than I imagined it. Because I'm looking at everyone's relationship with their parents. And it's not saying that him and his dad had a bad relationship. It's just sometimes things happen that you cannot recover from. You know what I mean? In the parent-child dynamic. And it brought up the fact, like I said, that you don't really think that your children are judging you. You know, because as a parent that has a child, I may have some temporary judgments, but at the end of the day, you're still my baby. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. I want you to do your best. I love you. You know what I mean? And then for a child with a parent, maybe it's not that simple for them. They have a different experience. I'm going to bring up one more thing, and this is super random. This is literally like, you know, they show you Facebook ads and it'd be a piece of a TV show. So I seen one with Ayanna Van Zandt, and it was the boy, and he was telling her, you don't remember throwing the knife, and it almost hit me in the head, and it went in the door. And the mom, her response was, I threw it at your dad, and if I wanted to hit him, I would've. And it was so awkward, because here's this child telling you, what you did scared me. It had a lasting effect on me. I don't know, you know what I mean? To him, he could've died. But to her, it was like, it wasn't meant for you. So we have to keep in mind how we are seen and how we see others. And once again, you know, Crazy in Love will always be about getting to healthy love, being the healthy you so you can give out healthy love. And we'll probably talk more about this as I kind of go through my journey, or maybe I'll tell y'all more about my journey. But yeah, so yeah, y'all, I wanted to come back and just dissect that because it was a lot. And so yeah, maybe this is a good time to reflect on our relationships with our parents and see if it's anything we can approve, or maybe it's something we can forgive, or even open the door to a conversation. They are hard. Like I said, the last thing you want to do is cry or just feel like you have no control over the conversation. And if you feel like that, then maybe you should get a mediator or go to a therapist. But we have to address the past to move forward. So yeah, y'all, thank y'all so much for listening to Crazy in Love, the podcast. I'm your host, Courtney.